This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
And so we have our show on the road here at UTech IT, and that means the EMGO Blog Roundtable is out here as well. Joining me first from the power rank, Ed Fang. How are you?
I'm great, Sam.
Good to see you.
Happy Christmas morning, man.
Twice in the same week.
I know. It's a pleasure.
And then Brian Cook from EMGO Blog. Brian, how are you this morning?
Hello. This is quite a setup. It's I might stay here.
Right. And the food hasn't even gotten here yet.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah, so they're gonna have the hot dogs and it's gonna be a lot throughout the day to munch on as well. Looking forward to that. But Brian, we've already heard from Ed. Just putting the Michigan State take to bed. He's given his. Just yours on the Big Ten Championship as we look ahead to the NCAA tournament.
Well, I mean, similar game. The Hero Bowl period in the second half is kind of the thing that you fear is going to happen to this team in the tournament at some point. And then, you don't get the intentional foul call at the end, and you're like, he's trying to do it. He's, like, doing it on purpose, and you can't even, I don't know. But, yeah, so closer game, a little bit, did a little bit better.
Yeah, bad matchup. They haven't solved yet, and fortunately, that's a team that if you did see him again, you wouldn't have to see him until the Final Four, if both squads happen to make it that far.
Well, and we saw what happened when Tillman was out in that game, right? So it's just
it's night and day, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's night and day.
And I wonder, like, what happens if Nick Ward never gets hurt? Like, is Tillman playing 33 minutes? I mean, he didn't get to play 33 minutes in this one because he had some foul trouble.
But you saw when he went out. Oh my God! It just changed the game. Yeah. You could see the guys, like, their eyes bugging out. Yeah. Like, oh, now we can go. Nick Ward's in the game. Let's go. When Tillman came back in the game, it's like everyone's
scared. The last two games we've had Winston auto bench and Tillman auto bench. And Tillman auto bench was much worse for Michigan State.
Absolutely right, Brian Cook. And so keep him away. Keep Xavier Tillman away from Michigan. But you got to, like, I'm curious what you guys think. And we can get your opinion again, Ed. But, Brian, what did you think of Michigan's draw in the tournament?
I think it's tough to gauge because, they have potentially Nevada in the second round, and Nevada didn't play anybody all year. The only top 50 opponent they played was Utah State, and they went 1-1 against them, and they're number 34 instead of number 5. So they're a real veteran team. They have some size. I don't know what to make of them. So if they are really the team that people thought they were earlier in the year, then that would be a bad draw. But the thing that worries about me, they're 25th in KenPom, which is, like, bang on what you'd expect a 7 seed to be. But I wonder how much of that is because they lost by, like, 37 to New Mexico. And that was a zone team. And Michigan is not going to zone them. So, like, how much of that is an anomaly just because they had one awful, awful game? So, I think it's a toughish draw.
Yeah, I mean, this Nevada team is interesting. They don't have anyone, I think, taller than 6'7 or 6'8.
No, they have a 6'10 guy who plays about 20 minutes a game at the C.
Okay, but they have a lot of wings, and the one time I've seen them play was against Cincinnati in the round of 32 last year. Cincinnati was up maybe 18 points. A lot of the same guys came back and beat them. So they're definitely explosive. They certainly don't scare me. I'd rather play them than Houston last year, which was a very tough defensive team that can just grind you into the ground. This is a team more with wings that shoot, not as good defensively as Houston. And then obviously getting Montana, and then, which is the same as last year, potentially getting Florida State again and potentially Elite Eight game. Just a lot of similarities out in the West.
Did you feel like, because this is my opinion, I understand everyone feels like, or a lot of people feel like, Michigan State got screwed being in Duke's region. But I feel like their path to the Elite Eight, which is when you would see Duke,
right?
I feel like their path to the Elite Eight is easier than Michigan's.
I mean, they got a team that beat them in the second round. So, if they get Louisville, like Louisville won at home in overtime, but that's a pretty tough seven.
But this Louisville team has lost 7 of their last 10. They haven't looked the same since losing.
But matchups, right? Like, yeah. You know, and you know, I think that LSU as your three is preferable to Texas Tech, obviously, mm-hmm, but yes. That's because of external circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think basketball circumstances too. Texas Tech is a better basketball team,
sure,
than LSU.
But like, the chances that Michigan doesn't end up with a one seed if they get to the Elite Eight are a lot higher. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what's the trade-off there? And I think, you know, being opposite Gonzaga, where they are getting some kind of zone team in round two, is good for Michigan. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Baylor just pioneered a very strange zone. So, like, anything could happen if they get through. And we know what Syracuse has done in the tournament the last few years. So... As a second-round matchup, Syracuse is horrible.
What do you think of, you know, Syracuse, their point guard is suspended? What do you think? What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Syracuse is – I mean, they obviously give people problems with the zone. You know, they beat Michigan State last year, but obviously there's circumstances like that. And you're not going to hold everyone to, what, 0 for 15 shooting down the stretch like they did against Michigan State. I mean, Battle, from what I've seen of this team, is kind of their go-to guy when the shot clock is going down. So
halfway through the year, Sam Vecini, who writes for The Athletic, did a survey of various assistant coaches talking about various NBA prospects. Tyus Battle was one of them, and 6 of the 7 assistant coaches bagged on Boeheim not having any offense. They don't run anything. And then I watched them play a game in this new like context, and I was like, they literally don't run anything. They just give it to Battle, and it's like, all right, hump up a shot, buddy. It's unbelievable. They must spend every moment in practice working on their zone.
So Jordan Poole would love that offense.
Come on, Sam, we got to pump up Jordan Poole these next couple weeks, man.
It was a joke.
Let's not joke about the man.
I have no comment.
I think JP is a tremendous talent, but
of course.
But in an offense like that where the coach just says, just give him the ball and go.
Yeah.
I mean, he would love that.
He would not be very efficient, and nobody on Syracuse is. So whatever game Syracuse gets to play in this tournament will be a rock fight, and they get another zone team, a big weird zone. So I think Gonzaga is a second round upset potential pick. And then, you know, Florida State has played very well this year. You have John Morant, mm-hmm, going up against Marcus Howard. That's going to be a barn burner. That's mm-hmm. just going to be two guys at 50% usage. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun game. I think it's like the 4:30 game today, which I unfortunately think I have to miss half of. But that's going to be a lot of fun.
One of the things we talked about earlier, do you think Murray State? So I think I have them beating Marquette. I don't have them beating Florida State.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Florida State is a lot like the Florida State team we played last year, yep, where they have a 6'10 guy who does a lot of work at center, and then they bring in a 7'4 guy. So it's
well, and they bring athletic wings. They're going to try to drive to the basket. And
exactly what we talked about is that, you know, they have size, they have athleticism, they're deep. That's it. They got a lot of bodies,
right?
Talented bodies that they can run at John Morant. So what is his? Well, I don't know enough about Murray State to know about his supporting cast.
It's okay, you know. I mean it's good for Ohio Valley.
It's an Ohio Valley.
But they got a pretty thick dude underneath. That's a decent player. But John Morant's going to get the ball. He's going to drive. He's got great court vision, so he's going to get his teammates involved. He's going to dunk on someone. He can't shoot. And there you go. There's the game.
What are his stats? You keep saying he can't shoot.
He's an average college basketball shooter from 3-point. He makes 34%.
Okay, that's a lot different than can't.
Sorry. No. He can't. I always think of he can't shoot because you're going to draft this kid, and I obviously see the potential, but like he's not.
So like
great
I said
shooter.
To you, do you think Russell Westbrook can shoot?
No.
But he's okay, right?
He's okay. Yes.
And the guy's he's averaged a triple double.
He is
2 years in a row.
Okay,
so
I'm not a Russell Westbrook fan. I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but
no,
I'm,
we haven't. We haven't. But he
I'm not
is.
A,
he's averaged a triple double twice.
Right.
I'm like,
no, but
I take it.
But thinking about these matchups going through this West region, you know, you talk about the athletes that Florida State has. You talk about the Culver guy that Texas Tech has. I think really important that Charles Matthews is on top of his game. That ankle's completely healthy, and you can get that elite wing defender.
Well, you think about it, you mentioned Charles Matthews. Charles was like the offense last year in Montana game.
He was the offense for a large part of the tournament, and he has not replicated that this year. So,
well, Wisconsin and one other game. He was very good on offense.
Okay. I think that kind of makes my point.
Exactly.
Right.
But I just don't think that that's going to change suddenly. Like, he if he's going to make some step backs, he's going to make some step backs. But I think you're going to be leaning more on X and Teske and Iggy. And hopefully those guys can pick up some. Like, if Charles Matthews is able to pick up 10 points on GR3 stuff, that's great. And that's kind of the thing that has started to bug me about what's going on with the offense right now is that, you know, Michigan used to have guys cutting in from the baseline for dunks, and that would be a great place to put Matthews, but they just haven't seemed to get that click in this year.
Yeah. You want him to – I felt like when he came back, you know, he was – it felt like he was dialed in as far as seeing the court. He had some terrific passes. It's like, man, you know, he's really dialed in from that standpoint defensively. You know, felt like he was still connected. He certainly has not found his shot. So hopefully that gets clicking, because, you know, for Michigan to make any kind of, you know, pose any kind of threat beyond the opening week. Like, I think Michigan will get these two games, yep, even if it's Nevada. But for them to get beyond, you know, a Texas Tech, a Gonzaga, or a Florida State, Charles Matthews has got to be...
Offensively?
Yeah, offensively. I think he's got to be a threat.
A threat, yes. I think if Michigan's going to make noise, it's got to be like one of those games where Iggy has 27 mm-hmm. points, and you're like, how did that happen?
Oh, I mean, yeah, no, I don't think he has to lead the team, but
he's got to be there,
and he has it.
Well, you know,
he's tried to be there.
You know, against State, he's 1-3 from the floor, and all three of those are fadeaways. Mm-hmm. So, like, where did the guy who was able to, like, get in amongst the trees against A&M and finish at the rim last year go? So, that's been rough.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. I want to get from you guys, you know, I know you've gone through your bracket, teams that people should stay away from. With their bracket, I've given a couple of my takes on that earlier in the show. We'll get yours coming up. I know there are a lot of you out there like me who haven't completely locked in that bracket, or maybe you have more brackets you're going to fill out. That's what we're here to help you with. In addition to talking about how far Michigan might go, we have the MGO Blog Roundtable. Sans, of course, Craig Ross this morning. But here at UTEC IT is Ed Fang from Power Rank, and then Brian Cook from MGO Blog. So teams to avoid in your bracket. One of the teams I pointed to immediately, and we talked a little bit about this the other day, Ed, Kansas State. I am avoiding Kansas State.
Okay.
Wait, you're missing a very key component. Maybe the biggest injury situation heading into the tournament was Dean Wade, and I just read, checked again this morning, they said he's probably not going to be available for the NCAA tournament.
And their offense is already kind of struggling, and they get UC Irvine in the first round, and Irvine has the best two-point defense in the country. Now, that's against a lot of low majors, but they're going to have to make contested shots, and that's not been a strength of them this year. I'm going to say avoid Gardner Webb. Yep. I know what happened last year, and I know it's the same kind of dog mascot, but I don't think it's going to happen again.
Yeah, I mean, I think that entire South region for Virginia is a pretty good draw for them. I think Tennessee is the worst 2 seed. I do not believe in Purdue as a 3 seed. I know the numbers like them, but we've talked a lot about how Carson Edwards kind of goes nuts, and they're not the best they've ever been on defense. We talked about Kansas State. I mean, Wisconsin's a good team. I think Wisconsin might be the toughest game that Virginia gets in that entire region.
So you have Wisconsin getting past Oregon?
Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah. No, that's it.
Pac-12 is going 0-3.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Like, so one of the things this year that I noticed was that the committee really did a good job seeding. So you can look at the markets. Like, there's only one lower seed that's a favorite, and that's the 9 seed, UCF. Okay? But Oregon's only a two-point favorite. Wisconsin's only a two-point favorite in that game, which is interesting. I think they should be about a four- or five-point favorite. I like the Wisconsin team. Other people are doubting them, but we will see how that goes. I think they get past Oregon.
You like Louisville?
I mean, I'm not saying that they're the best team in the country. I just think that whenever you've got a second-round matchup against a team you played and lost to,
yeah, it's not great. I think that is a very valid point. You're right. You played them. You beat them.
You lost to them.
I mean, well,
oh, Louisville
beat them. But man, this team, you talk about a collapse. If they hold on against Duke, right. You know, the end of the season is just forget that one game.
Yeah.
The games they lost after that, I don't think they lose as much as they wound up losing if they just hold on in that Duke game. But it seemed to warp their brains that they blew that lead.
I mean, it's completely warped my brain about them, right? Because they were up 18, and then I turned on the game, and they literally had 8 straight turnovers. And Duke scored every time and came back. So I can't really truly evaluate this team because that's the majority of the minutes I've seen them play. You know, numbers-wise, they're okay.
See, with them, it's strictly about trend, losing 7 of the last 10. I think that they have better talent from top to bottom than Minnesota? Yes. But who poses the bigger threat to Michigan State right now? I have a hard time saying Louisville, man, because of how they're playing. They have better talent than Minnesota.
Have you seen Minnesota play?
Yes, I have.
And I know that's such a hard thing. Right?
I think both of these teams lose to Michigan State. Let's be clear there. I think both of them lose to Michigan State, but Minnesota is playing halfway decent here down the stretch. They beat Purdue twice. Jordan Murphy can pose some problems inside. Maybe Amir Coffey can catch some fire. They're familiar.
Come on,
at least,
man. That's
State.
Not. No. Like, so it's about upside, right? Like, what's a Louisville? Like, when Louisville plays their best game, what do? They're up 18 against Duke. They beat Michigan State. What happens when Minnesota plays its best game?
They beat Purdue.
Right.
Oh, that was the worst showing of basketball I've ever seen.
What happens
twice?
Beating a Purdue.
Twice?
What happens if they don't have Carson Edwards sabotaging the other team? Because it's going to be Cassius Winston. Right. Like, Minnesota has no chance in the second round if they are fortunate enough to get there.
Oh, man. Carson Edwards point is a very, very good one. I don't think either of these teams can beat Michigan State, frankly.
You're talking about a team that already did.
I know. I think they're different. I just think they're so different now.
But if Louisville shakes it off and they play to their capabilities, they can beat Michigan State.
Okay, got you there. Avoid Maryland.
Oh, yeah. That just goes without saying.
I have Belmont.
You like Belmont?
I have Belmont going to the Sweet 16.
All right.
Wow. How about that?
What do your numbers say about that?
My numbers don't like that, but I would be really pumped if that happened.
Avoid Kentucky. I know they're playing well down the stretch, but Wofford, shooting is shooting, right? And Wofford shoots 42% from three. Kentucky isn't very good at preventing those from going up. Like, that's like, they're going to have to like survive on the defensive end, but they have guys who are just snipers.
And
snipers can win any game at any time.
I definitely get that point. I actually am really high on this Kentucky team. They may have more guys that end up having long NBA careers than any other team in this tournament. From what I've seen of their games, I think they really get after it on defense. One of John Calipari's better teams there. And actually, my numbers are actually like Seton Hall in that first game against Wofford.
Okay, I avoid
one set of my numbers.
Avoid Kansas.
Yeah.
I'm avoiding Kansas. I think Kansas, there's no way... I don't think they make it to the second weekend. I think they are an upset alert today. Northeastern can shoot it. Kansas has been getting bombed from the outside. So the three teams that you project them to face, Northeastern, Auburn for sure can shoot it. If they happen to face Carolina, they get shot out the gym. Their perimeter defense hasn't been good of late. So no way their defense holds up three straight games. There's a chance it won't hold up today, but it certainly wouldn't hold up against Auburn.
Yeah, can we talk about how weird Auburn is? I mean, Auburn is the number one turnover defense in the country. They're like top 20 in blocks. They're 330th at defensive rebounding. So they have one of these swarming pressure defenses.
That's kind of funny.
And, I mean, they just try to block everything and steal everything. And there are teams that could have trouble with that. And I'm kind of looking at UNC. You know, Kobe White's really good, but more of a scoring guy. If they can contain that up-tempo pace that UNC has and get them in the half court, you know, that's a team that I could see, like, upsetting UNC.
Okay. All right. I like where we're going with this. Now, how do you guys – and I posed this question to you already. You buy St. Mary's at all? Do you read anything into St. Mary's beating Gonzaga?
Obviously, that's a good win for them. But if you go look at their resume, it's like, that was pretty much it. So they're
super flukish.
They're a decent team. The problem is Villanova is so dependent on the three this year that they could go down if they have a bad shooting night. So I think they shot 54% of their shots were threes this year.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, is that not tripling down on a strategy that you've used to pretty good effect the last 3 years?
And I mean, they won the Big East in both the tournament and regular season, and they got a sixth seed when they had two early departures. So it's not the worst approach, but it's a very high variance one.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy to see Villanova getting to Tennessee and then maybe bombing them out of the bracket, but it's pretty easy to see Villanova. I mean, I think that's a reason to stay away from them. They're just so high variance that how are you going to predict it?
Well, I mean, Jay Wright's had a top 10 defense each of the last, I don't know, at least 5 or 6 years. The defense is like outside the top 50 this year. So that's where they're really struggling. I think they can make shots, but I think it's a stretch to say that they're going to get their defense together all of a sudden in this tournament.
So I mentioned that I have Belmont going to the Sweet 16. Do you, if LSU, beats Yale, I think they're going to beat Yale. What do your numbers say about that?
They're probably going to beat Yale. Yeah, I mean, LSU's got athletes, right?
They have athletes, but they have turmoil.
Yeah. But, I mean, still, they lost, like, a two-point game to Florida in the SEC tournament, right? Like, I don't think that's a reflection necessarily of turmoil, right?
True. And I just think, Belmont can light it up.
Yep.
And, that's one of my
– They've got to beat Maryland first.
And I think they will.
Yeah?
I guess I've been around Ira too long.
Ira's opinion is not uncommon across the college basketball world.
I have no faith in Maryland's ability to put together, a competent performance, here in that, or a performance that lives up to the talent level of the team. Because look at me, went out and they lost to Nebraska.
Right. No. Which is just kind of unexcusable in my mind. But do you think? How does that portend for Bruno Fernando and potentially leaving? So if he loses, I've seen him at the edge of the first round in some of these mocks.
He'll probably go.
Yeah, I think if he's a first round, if he gets a first round grade, he'll go.
Which obviously is enhanced if they win a couple games and he plays like the Bruno Fernando that we all know.
I think he's got enough of a resume at this point that he's not going to hinge on a couple of tournament games, especially because a lot of his game in the NBA is going to be as a rim runner, and that's not in dispute.
And you got to believe that guys on that team are probably emboldened by Kevin Herter. I didn't expect Kevin Herter to be
a mid-round, first-round pick.
No,
well, he was recruited by Beeline, and he didn't get him. So that's a good, like Klay Thompson.
Well, when he declared, were you like, oh yeah, this guy's going?
I mean, I had only seen him against Michigan that year, and he didn't really perform, but that was because of Charles. So I didn't see that coming, but obviously that was, he's 6'7", he can shoot, he can handle. It's not a huge surprise.
Yeah. All right, folks, we have one more segment here to go.
Welcome back to the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket online, WTK.com. One last segment for the MGO Blog Roundtable. The MGO Blog Roundtable is brought to you by Homesure Lending. Homesure Lending is a local company, and you work directly with the owner, a Michigan man, Matt Demarest. Sam, take it away.
And we are back, folks. The last segment here on the Michigan Insider from UTEC IT. Having a blast is going to only get more fun throughout the day as the food gets broken out, the drinks start to come out as well. Going to have a lot of fun here. So Michigan guys, we have Ed Fang from the Power Rank, Brian Cook from Imago Blog. So we've kind of talked about the path and how difficult it may be. Now rubber meets the road. How far does Michigan go in this tournament? First you, Mr. Fang.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about how they should make the Sweet 16 already. I think Texas Tech and Michigan, by my numbers, are the two best defensive teams in the nation. So you think the Houston game was ugly last year. I think you're going to see similarities. Michigan is a better offensive team. They should win that game. They have an NBA talent in Culver on that team, so obviously Charles.
But it's an NBA wing talent. So, like, that's Charles.
Yeah. And then you probably play Gonzaga. I mean, I think the world of this Gonzaga team. They are super athletic on the front court. They have a lot of good players around them. Brandon Clark, I think, will be a lottery pick by the end of this tournament.
Yeah.
So I don't think we will not be favored in that game.
Some people have Michigan facing Florida State.
That'd be great. Bring it.
You
would
like
love
that. You like that better?
We beat them last year, right? And we're a better defensive team this year. Like, I think you got to you know, Florida State is going to bring those athletic wings, but they're not going to be the most organized team. And I think John Beilein and his crew gets it done against Florida State.
Right. And then so, but you, if it's Gonzaga, you have Michigan going down to Gonzaga in the Elite Eight.
Right.
All right. How deep does Michigan go, Brian?
I just have this vision of Michigan going through a patented second half drought and scoring 2 points over the course of 10 minutes and going out in the second weekend. I don't know against who. Mm-hmm. It just feels like the offense is a little bit too rickety, and it's going to be a moment where it's just like we had it, and then it was gone.
Obviously this team, this offense has had its challenges. I feel like the challenges versus Michigan State are unique. Like, we've seen Michigan go through droughts where they can't knock down open. They just can't buy a bucket, right? Can't knock down open looks. Against Michigan State, though, they are getting open looks.
They aren't running offense.
They aren't running offense at all. So their struggles against Michigan State are different than their struggles typically. And I wonder, are we overvaluing what we saw happen against Michigan State? Because how many teams are going to be able to defend ball screens the way that Michigan State can?
Texas Tech can, because they have a guy who's a 6'10", really good block guy. He's like 13%, and he's switchable enough that I think he would give Michigan problems in those regards. But you know, they're not a very good offense, and they have some problems coming up against Michigan itself. I think that's going to be a game, but I kind of feel like Texas Tech might get us.
So Texas Tech would be the Sweet 16 game.
Yes.
So Michigan going out in the Sweet 16.
I'm not saying it's a certainty.
I understand, but the question is, how deep do they go? So Sweet 16.
I say they will go to the Sweet 16 or the Final Four.
All right.
There's no in between.
No respect for Gonzaga.
If they get to the Elite Eight game, it's all over.
It's going to be like Florida in 2013 again.
Yeah, exactly.
Bombs away.
You know, we will see. You know, we were talking a little recruiting here before we get out of here. And so let's put this down right now. Franz Wagner.
Okay.
If they somehow are able to get Iggy back, and that's no certainty at all, and they can pick up Franz Wagner.
All right.
Dude, this team is a final. They are Final Four team.
All right.
They're Final Four team next year. Because Franz Wagner is the type of offensive weapon.
Do they need Franz Wagner?
The type of offensive complement. He is a wing shooter.
Okay.
A mature wing. He has a mature floor game. You watch him play, you can tell. It is so obvious that he plays with pros. He makes the smart basketball plays where, you know, things you might look past with, an outlet pass or, you know, knowing where to be in transition, making the right pass in transition, a knockdown shooter from 3-point range, not hogging the ball even in an NBA camp setting. I was really impressed with the maturity of his floor game. And you need what we're talking about. If you lose, so Charles Matthews goes, you need an impact guy in this place. And if you can get an impact guy that can shoot, that's what this team needs, is another bona fide scoring threat from the perimeter.
Sure. Well, and then you're going 8 or 9 deep with people that are coming back too. So you're not struggling for the 7th guy.
So, you know, just, we were having this conversation about Franz Wagner off air. I'm like, hey, let's bring this to the air.
Let's get it out
now,
there.
What I don't know is, does Franz Wagner want to play college basketball?
Well, he's getting about 5 minutes a game. And that's probably not going to change a lot over the next couple of years because he's playing with 28-year-olds. So, like, the hope is that he knows his brother's experience at Michigan and he thinks playing 30 minutes a game for a really good college basketball team. That sounds fun.
Well, hopefully. You know, I'm hoping we aren't talking about recruiting and decisions. This is something that the team is going to dive into in earnest when the season ends.
Right.
Who's going to leave? Who's going to stay? And do you have space to go after a Quinones or, you know, another guy, hopefully a Franz Wagner?
Well, Wagner says he's going to take visits over the summer. So by the time that he knows, Michigan will know.
Yeah. And the other option would be, the transfer portal. And they, you know, people are talking like there are going to be some guys, some real guys that are looking to be on the move this year. So, you know, we'll see how much flexibility will Michigan has. Who goes, who stays? That's the big question there. All right, so now, since we've handled Michigan, your Final Fours, gentlemen. Starting with you, Ed, who's your Final Four?
Yeah, I believe that Duke, Gonzaga, and Virginia have been the top three teams in the nation for the second half of the season. I still see them making the Final Four. And I'm going to go with Kentucky out of the Midwest. A lot of talent. I think they're great on defense. That's my Final Four.
All right.
I have the three ACC teams and then Texas Tech.
Oh, you're buying Texas Tech heavy.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We were doing something like this on the site, and then I realized I'd picked all three ACC one seeds and Texas Tech, so I made them the national champions because I don't want to beat Dick Vitale.
How many times have you seen Texas Tech play? Just
twice.
Okay.
So, you know.
No, I mean, that's... I mean, that's enough to get a, you know, it's not like my 8 minutes of Louisville when they completely bid it against Duke.